You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, September 23rd, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, where the leaves are starting to turn and they'll be falling before too much longer on this first official day of fall, first full day. And it's nice to have you here up north from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or all the many places through social media, through the app, website, and so much more. Nice to have you along on this Tuesday morning with Parker Olson, who's also producing the shindig down in Madison Studio A2. I got a question for you. You ever get so busy, like hit the ground running on your work day that you have to get going and you're going and you're going and you realize you haven't even touched your coffee yet? You know, I withdraw the question because I realize I'm talking to Parker Olson here, who has probably never had a drop of coffee in his life. But you get the sentiment, right? Like you hit the ground and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't. Well, in your case, take a sip of water.
Yeah, no, there are many a days that I go, oh, I haven't done the thing that, like, keeps me sane.
I haven't done that in for those of us with caffeinated beverages, I'm like, oh, I've been going and going, and I haven't had my coffee yet, and now I'm suddenly very tired. I'm now ready for a nap. But, you know, which happens for various reasons. In my case, I didn't sleep good the night before last, so I went to bed extra early last night. Didn't do all my homework. We've all been there. You get up in the morning and you go, oh, the school bus is coming. I gotta get my homework done. And then you go, either you didn't have your coffee or you didn't do breakfast or, you know, I think I forgot to feed the dog, whatever the case may be. throws you a little off your game, but we're here now.
And we're here with you.
Yes. And we're here with you, even though you stayed up a little bit past your bedtime last night watching West Coast baseball.
Yes, I did. Yes,
why'd you do that? You know San Diego's out west, right? I mean, different time zone and everything.
This may come as a shock to you, Pat. I did know that. Yes, I was aware.
But you decided to watch a game that started at 8:30 at night.
Yeah. Now, see, I do pretty well on little sleep, which is probably a sentence I should not get used to saying out loud. But yeah, I don't know what it was. So for whatever reason, I just thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to watch the Brewers here because I think this is why. I think I need to see them win after, like, they were right.
How did that work out for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Extra innings as well to add insult to injury.
I went to bed after the top of the 10th, I think.
Oh, okay. And both teams, so you saw the Brewers score in the top of the 10th.
Yeah, and I thought,
okay,
you know what?
We're good. Nope. Padres scored in the bottom of the 10th. Yeah. The Brewers did not score in the top of the 11th, but the Padres did, and they beat your three-time NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers last night. Final score was 5-4. Game two out on the West Coast will be tonight. Again, pregame starting at 8:05. Again, that might be past your bedtime if that's the case. Please know, we'll tell you all about the score the next morning. Or call Parker if you're watching it, because he might be up.
Yeah, you can call me at 555.
Yeah, right. or call him, you know, at a little after 3 a.m. and make sure he's up and getting ready for work here.
So, I'll be up. I just won't be out of bed.
Yes, exactly. So the Brewers, you know, they're starting to wrap up the season. San Diego now clinching a playoff spot by beating the Brewers yesterday. So we're getting into that final week of things where the pieces are starting to fall in place for the playoffs, which last I looked at the brackets means the Brewers will get a first round bye, but it's quite likely they will either face these Padres or the Cubs. again, this is not final yet, but the last bracket I saw, it looked like the Brewers would be going up against the winner of a Padres-Cubs series, but there's probably still time for that to change.
Yeah, I mean, there's, yeah, it's always hard to predict that
stuff. So we're not saying anything with finality by any stretch. Alicia puts up on YouTube, oh yeah, I left the house this morning realizing I didn't take my vitamins. Yep, I've had that happen. She says, careful with that one, Parker. I had a doctor last week scold me for functioning on only 3 hours of sleep a night. Yeah, do not recommend that either.
I'm young. And I would like to take advantage.
You hold on to that, buddy.
I would like to take advantage of this while I've got it, Pat.
That is actually something that Sherry and I still say, and we've been saying this for 40 years, is if we're in a parking lot and there's no spot that's open close by, and we end up having to go further down the lane, we always end up saying the same thing. We're young. We can walk. And we're still saying it to this day. So we don't need the little sticker yet for the parking space is in the front. So if young is how you feel, and that's how we feel walking in from parking lots about virtually nothing else in our lives, but we will definitely do that. Tony says on YouTube, when I was Parker, I could go days without sleep. I'm assuming he means when I was Parker's age, but if you two have some trans.
Yeah, we've got a little Freaky Friday. Oh,
there
going
we go.
On
quickly.
Here.
Yeah. Parker's age. He clarifies there. Yes. So.
Days
could go days without sleep.
I don't think I've ever gone more than a like one night without sleep.
Yeah, no, that's just not recommended. I mean, you can anybody can pull the all nighter because again, you've got to do the term paper or the work project or you're traveling, whatever the case may be. But boy, when you extend that into a second night. Things get really dicey and suddenly you forget things like maybe putting the coffee pot underneath and turning on the switch. Coffee brews all over your counter. I'm just saying, you know,
oops,
we're here to tell you to get your rest. We'll be here in the mornings, but you know, go to bed at a decent hour. As you've seen the comments already coming in, you are very much welcome to do the same. We'd love to have you along. All you got to do is head over to the Up North News Facebook page or YouTube page or the Civic Media Facebook page or YouTube page, put comments there, or the Civic Media app and use the text feature there. And you will need that text feature less than an hour from now with our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. It is back. And it's a little bit different than Free Ticket Friday, which we don't have anymore. Free Ticket Friday, we gave you the text or the keyword for the whole 3 hours from 6 to 9 a.m. And you had the whole 3 hours to, you know, text it in and be entered in for the tickets. That's not how these contests work. These text to win contests, they have different keywords 7 times throughout the day.
That's a lot of chances.
But you've only got that hour to do it. So we're going to give you the word right after the 7 o'clock news this morning, and you got to text it in by 8 o'clock and then be listening in the 9 a.m. hour with Jane and Greg from At and Air on Air for that word and so forth throughout the course of the day. But again, you can use that Civic Media app to text us your messages, your questions, your comments, your chocolate chip cookie recipes, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, do that. I like that idea. Do that.
Yeah. Roger puts on Facebook, sleep is the most intelligent thing I do all day. Yep. Tony says, can't pull all-nighters anymore. It was because I worked midnights and that really messed things up.
Okay,
I totally believe that. Look, we get up early to do this show. There's no mistaking that. However, I've got friends in the TV and the radio business too, but TV business where to get ready for a newscast that begins at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, they get up a little after midnight, you know, maybe 1:15, something like that, to get ready and go into work. And a producer will have already been working, you know, starting it right after the 10 o'clock news at night. To get things going.
That's a
shift I've never had to work regularly, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, a buddy of mine just got a job at one of the TV stations in Madison, and he's like, yeah, my hours are like 10 p.m. to like 6. No.
And look, if that is your thing for a while, like, I don't know, a year or 2 years, something like that,
yeah,
I guess I get that. You can kind of sort of get used to it enough. What I don't get, and what frankly angers me that some people have to do this, is the number of employers who now have people, well, you're going to work overnights for like a week, and then you're going to have a few days off, and then you're going to work the first shift for a week or two, and then you're going to have a couple days off, and then you're going to be working second shift. I mean,
no.
And I guess maybe it's because that way it's tough to find people who will permanently work overnight, but that's just cruel to your entire workforce.
Yeah, that's really messed up. That does a lot of harm to the well-being of those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good. And I get that there have to be jobs all around the clock in various industries. I'm thankful for the people who do it, but hey, just make sure you're taking good care of them then, you know. Yeah. Tony noting rightly, the best thing about midnights, the bosses were never there. Yep, that's true. Alicia says a lot of unions do that kind of thing too. Yep, I suppose you got to share the load, share the responsibility. So whatever it is, whether it is moving shift work around, moving people around, or people who are permanent third shifters, you got to be good to them. You just be good to those folks, because if they're doing it, if it is an essential job, then we should be all the more thankful. If we remembered nothing from the pandemic years, it's the essential workers and what we can do. On the text line, somebody who claims to be Dr. Kristen Lyerly from the Green Bay area says nurses work those kinds of shifts all the time. Yes, I know. That's kind of where it came from there. I've got a little experience with somebody who delivers babies on the overnight shift and has to do those call shifts where you start at like 7 p.m. or 7 a.m. on a Friday, and you finish at 7 a.m. on a Monday, or, things that are equally ridiculous, like during residency, where Sherry would sometimes be awake and or on duty for like 100 hours a week.
Yeah. Oh,
and God. Keep in mind, a week only has what, 138 hours or something?
Yeah, really.
Like that, you know, yeah. I understand that they don't almost literally kill residents to that degree like they used to in the olden days.
Yeah.
But, you know, suffering breeds character, right? Yeah, but it also breeds bad outcomes.
Yeah, I would really hate to see what emergency room looks like at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night. You got to get some interesting folk.
Oh, yes, you do. And again, we'll ask Kristen about her rotations. Sherry has had some interesting ones when she did rotations at what was, I believe it was still called Milwaukee County General Hospital or something like that before Fradert came in. And yeah, ERs in the middle of the night there, Hennepin County in Minneapolis. You get all kinds, kinds of stories. Yes. And Alicia says that she used to do 1900 hours to 0700 on the flight deck. So yeah, 12 hours on the flight deck overnight. That's a full one. Mm-hmm. Let's get you to Brittany Merlot's statewide forecast. She says leftover showers may linger as that weather system sits to our south, but a dry stretch and a warm up are around the corner. The state forecast for today, thick fog chances in the morning, mixed sky, spotty light showers possible, highs in the upper 60s to low 70s, a light northeast wind, partly cloudy, patchy fog tonight, low 50s up north, mid 50s tonight in the south, again, a light northeasterly wind. We'll be talking to congressional candidate Laura Benjamin from the 3rd Congressional District about last night's Eau Claire City Council meeting and reaction to the Charlie Kirk assassination. But coming up next, Donald Trump's Tylenol headaches. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What else is coming up today? I'm glad you asked. I'll be glad to tell you. Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart. Hans is a dairy farmer up near Merrill. Sheila Everhart is with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We're going to talk with Sheila about pumpkin patches and corn mazes and all the fun things you can do on farms around Wisconsin in the fall. I mean, ask the farmer's permission first. Don't just show up and go running through somebody's field and pretend it's a maze. We're talking about the organized ones here. That'll be coming up this morning as well. That's at 7:35. And let me make sure I got the time right, talking to Laura Benjamin, congressional candidate from Eau Claire. She'll be on at about 7:10, right after the 7 o'clock news, Brittany Merlot's forecast, and the keyword for our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. That'll be followed by Laura Benjamin around 7:10, and then we'll talk to Hans Brighton Moser and Sheila Everhart around 7:35. And then, of course, it's Tuesday, so we got our Tuesday tag team. We've got Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area talking about state politics, including the, shall we say, interesting web browsing history of one of the family values candidates. And we'll also have Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. He has a newsletter, Below the Beltway, that he does from the nation's capital. And we'll talk live to him about what the Trump administration has been doing, sending U.S. troops to a third American city without really any kind of justification. So that's what's coming up. And if you cannot stick around for it, you know the drill by now. And at some point, you're going to miss enough things to go, all right, I'll get over to Spotify. I will look up Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, or I'll just look up Wisconsin politics, and it'll pop up in the search there. And then follow along, and you'll find yourself getting into a habit, if not every day, then every so often, of going, oh, let me catch up on one of those shows, and do that through Spotify or through Apple, wherever you get your podcast, and follow along with the show there. We'd love to have you as a follower. You know where else we'd love to have you as a follower? Yeah, as the newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and you can sign up there for our newsletters, the weekday one, and our special Sunday morning one about Wisconsin politics. There, for all the things we're talking about, there's one thing we're really not talking about, the potential of a government shutdown. And I believe, this is how long the day was yesterday. I actually have to go look and make sure my article about the shutdown actually made it to the website. I believe it did before things got to an end. Yep, there it is, right at the top. Do you feel immune to a government shutdown? Is it just some distant thing that people are yapping about in Washington, D.C.? Well, think again. And in my article, I list all the different ways that a government shutdown can affect you. So again, you can get that and that Sunday morning question of the week of who gets blamed most for a government shutdown through our website, upnorthnewswi.com. There is a bit of a Tylenol headache going around the White House right now. Of course, they can't take Tylenol, so maybe they're taking ibuprofen, I guess, because the president, not a doctor, and the Health and Human Services Secretary, also not a doctor, are now officially putting out a warning that claims that acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, could have some kind of a link to autism. That's not necessarily so. But let's hear it directly from not a doctor, Donald Trump.
Effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen, is that okay? Which is basically commonly known as Tylenol during pregnancy, can be associated with a very increased risk of autism.
It's got an increased risk of a headache listening to him talk about acetaminophen in that way. Acetaminophen, Tylenol, has not been around that terribly long, 60-some years. Autism's been around, a little bit longer. And this is that classic case of, how do they put it, causation versus correlation. I mean, it's up there with saying, 80% of pregnant women also drink water regularly. So water causes autism. The link is just not that strong. I'm not telling you it's zero. I'm not giving you medical advice here. I'm telling you that you do not put out that kind of a warning about a potential link without a lot more evidence. And the evidence just isn't there. Dr. Kristen Lierley has been on here multiple times talking about this, and we'll talk about it again. The main thing here is that if you are concerned about a pregnancy and autism risks and what to take for pain relief, the single best thing you can do is not listen to a politician, not listen to a guy on the radio, not go to Dr. Google, but to talk to your own doctor or healthcare professional and get all the information you can that is fact-based and then make your own determination. But don't listen to a president who's pronouncing, you know, acetaminophen like Porky Pig. That's just not how that should work for your best health. But the other reason for Tylenol to maybe be passed around the White House is Jimmy Kimmel's not gone. Jimmy Kimmel's not going away. Jimmy Kimmel's coming back tonight. ABC's putting him back on. There do not appear to be much, if any, strings attached that we know about publicly after he was, you know, suspended indefinitely for things that he said, which was not really about anything that he said. It was about pressure from the head of the FCC and from the president of the United States. But one thing that has really become known in the past week here is that there has begun a backlash to the backlash. The initial backlash to reaction to Charlie Kirk's life and legacy in the wake of his murder was a classic case of overreach. As we saw, Derek Van Orden, Donald Trump, and others want to trample all over the First Amendment. And no doubt, ABC, like others, said, yeah, that might have been some overreach. Why don't we reel this back in and not infringe on people's freedom of expression? So Jimmy Kimmel will be back tonight. Today's history lesson will be up next. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Obviously, we're going to start today's history lesson with the boss and wish a happy birthday to Bruce Springsteen. He's 76 years old today. But even as we wish him a happy birthday, Parker and I are listening to Hungry Heart there and realizing that there's a lot of songs in the past that sometimes we maybe romanticize. And then you actually go back and listen to the lyrics. Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. I went out for a ride and I never went back.
Yeah.
And we say, oh, he's a rebel. He's got a hungry heart. He's out there seeing the world. No, he's a deadbeat dad.
He's having an affair, I think.
This is a song about a deadbeat dad. And we're making it sound like, oh, what a guy, huh?
Yeah, that's the problem with music. It can make a really horrible thing sound awesome.
Yeah. Look, I can't fit everything in every day's history lesson. One of the songs that got dropped, but is right up in there as well. This day in 1972 was the Mac Davis song, Baby, Baby, Don't Get Hooked on Me, with the lyric, you know, I'll just use you and I'll set you free.
Oh.
Just so much romance in those early rock and roll hits. But back to Bruce Springsteen, who, again, is a national treasure. Great, in every sense of the way. I just picked an interesting song there to start things off with Hungry Heart.
I mean, what else would you have started with?
There you go. 76 years old today. Born the same day as Ray Charles, who was born this day in 1930. Ray Charles Robinson was born this day in 1930, passed away in 2004, blinded by glaucoma as age 7 as a kid in Georgia. He would add gospel elements to form new types of music that would become known as soul and rock. For the umpteenth time, I will again mention the podcast that I'm listening to, A History of Rock and Roll in 500 Songs. And because don't listen to me. I'm doing a terrible job of trying to explain how it is that Ray Charles did to music that basically created the soul genre.
Okay.
You just hear it and you go, yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how, but he did, you know?
Yeah, it is weird to think about the evolution of music.
It is. And when somebody tips you off to it and then you hear it, you go, oh yeah, there it is. That, you know, because I could play several different types of Ray Charles music. I mean, we could do soul, we could do country. He's done, of course, you know, adult contemporary. He's done it all. And they all sound good. Whereas other people, if they try to any other lane, you're like, no. That's not gonna work.
Yeah, no, this is good. I like this.
Ray Charles, he can get it done.
Oh yeah.
Also born this day in 1926, jazz saxophonist John Coltrane. John Coltrane passed away much too soon in 1967 at the age of 40. On this day in 2003 was the premiere of the original NCIS on CBS. And much like Law and Order and some of these others, I mean, there have been so many installments. Now there's what, NCIS Milwaukee? I don't know what they're going to do
it
next.
It wouldn't
there's
surprise me.
NCIS Bloomer, you know?
Palm Beach, I think.
Yep, but... No, what's the new one? Sydney, Australia, right?
Yeah, yeah. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't. The
original. This day, 22 years ago, on this day in 1957, we knew there was going to be playoff baseball in Milwaukee. The old Milwaukee Braves clinched the National League pennant this day in 1957 after beating the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's see, another birthday today. The late Jerry Corbetta was born this day in 1947. He was the lead vocalist of a 60s group known as Sugarloaf.
Green-eyed lady, lovely lady, strolling slowly towards the sun.
Born this day in 1943, Julio Iglesias, making him 82 years old today, native of Madrid, Spain. Actor Jason Alexander is 66 years old today. Do you think he minds being pegged as George Costanza for the rest of his life? Because he's had so many other roles. I mean, he had a great role on Young Sheldon when that was on,
really?
For example. Or do you figure he's like, I was on one of the biggest shows ever, and the residual checks are still cashing, so I'm good.
Yeah, I kind of think he's like that. He's also done some Broadway stuff, I think. He's a
theater guy as
well.
He does a lot of Broadway. And like his early movies, like Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts, Richard Gere, yeah. he plays a big-time jerk. He plays the bad guy, which was fine at that point, but now having done Seinfeld, look back at the movie and go, I'm not buying it. Jason Alexander is a bad guy.
There's a clip of him. I forget who he's talking to. I want to say it's Johnny Carson, but I'm pretty sure I'm wrong. He's talking about how their contracts on Seinfeld basically broke television financials. Like, they were so absurdly well paid that it just, like, ruined everything for TV forever.
Well, good. I mean, because, I mean, before, no, seriously, you had the actors who were in shows that took off huge in the 60s and 70s, and they'd get, like, nothing. Or they'd get these residual checks for, like, 3 cents, you know, or something.
Yeah.
So if it means it's not going, you know, for some executive to buy a fifth house, I'm okay with that. That's okay. Skylar Astin, you saw him in Pitch Perfect in the movies there. He was in that recent TV series, So Help Me Todd. He is 38 years old today. On the music charts in history, on this day in 1957, Buddy Holly and the Crickets had the number one song. The title apparently came from a line of dialogue from John Wayne in the movie The Searchers, and the way that John Wayne said, that'll be the day, and Buddy Holly turned it into that. On this day in 1967, the number one song was by the Box Tops.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane, ain't got time to take a fast train, lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home.
No. Let me tell you this. Listen to the next line. He was 16 when he sang this.
Huh?
Yeah. Turn that up. Listen to him. Does that guy sound 16 years old?
No. Yeah, hard,
Alex
hard,
Chilton,
hard no.
16 years old at that point. When The Letter by the Box Tops went to number one. Huh. And then we'll jump way ahead to 2003 when Outkast put out the album Speaker Box, which had the big hit Hey Ya, Hey Ya, Hey Ya. It's
hey
a Midwestern
ya.
Thing. Hey Ya, Hey Ya, Hey Ya. And this one. And then, let's see, we got, I do have one more. I should have turned the page and I would have found it right here because it's one of my favorite songs. It's in my top five favorite songs of all time, and I wanted to make sure we ended the segment with it. So we're going back to 1977 when Steely Dan released their sixth album, Asia, A-J-A, Asia, a collection of what's called meticulous and mysterious songs, including a couple of my favorites. There's Black Cow, and then there's Deacon Blues. I like the line at the end of the chorus. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues. It's like, can you just give yourself a nickname like that? You know?
I guess.
They call
if
Wisconsin
it's that good.
The Badgers. Call me whatever. I've never thought of giving myself a nickname. Those are things usually bestowed upon you by others. Sometimes in admiration. Sometimes you just have to own what they give you.
I had a nickname bestowed upon me at Whitewater because I was doing a lot of sports reporting. Uh-oh. You know Adrian Wojnarowski for NBA insider guy, basically.
Oh, Woj, yes.
Yes, I became known as Whitewater Woj.
Whitewater Woj?
Yeah. I was like, you know what? That's pretty good.
Whitewater Woj.
I'll keep that
I
one.
I do like that. I hope you wore that one as a badge of honor.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Whitewater Woj. Well, I wish we'd have known about that before. That, kids, that's how it's going to stick. Sometimes you listen to something and you go, where did that ever come from? Well, on this show, it started right here when you hear from Whitewater Woj. So on this day in 2017, President Trump withdrew an invitation to the White House for the NBA champion Golden State Warriors after Steph Curry said he didn't want to attend. So Trump pulled the invitation. For why don't I have a crying baby sound effect ready for this?
Because
know why? Because a snowflake can't make a sound, so I have to have something else that I should have had at the ready. And anyway, there he is.
There you go. We had a pause, Steely Dan. I'm sorry about that, but you know what?
No, that is totally fine. Yeah. Let's see. And on this day in 2020, also still in his first term, President Trump refused to commit to a peaceful transfer of power after the November election if he were to lose to Joe Biden. And of course, he did not. Today is International Day of Sign Languages. Today is Snack Stick Day. Do you like snack sticks? You know, your Slim Jims and things like that.
Usually,
Jack Links.
I'm more of a string cheese kind of guy.
A string cheese,
as
you
may
have
guessed.
That's your snack stick. Yes. Your snack stick. Gotcha.
But you know what? Okay. I 100% could get behind some Slim Jims or something like that.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
There's definitely a time and place, and especially if you're a deer hunter or if you know somebody who's a deer hunter and they don't mind sharing, there are some meat markets around Wisconsin. There's Bob's up here in Bloomer. There's one down in Osseo, and the name escapes me right now. But boy, the snack sticks that some of these local meat producers make with a little bit of venison,
sure,
along with some pork or some beef or something.
Yeah.
And then spices. Oh, my goodness. So good. Just
I'm getting
so
hungry.
Good. I know. It's also International Pot Pie Day. And that's one of my goals. I've made a lot of good things in my cast iron skillet and stuff, but I still want to get good at making a pot pie.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I think that would be great. Left you just over a minute. You want to pitch us a really good entertainment story for the day here?
Yeah, sure. Let's go to hot ones. We were just talking a little bit about food. Let's keep with the food.
The chicken wing
hot
sauce thing?
It's the, okay. Yeah, you go on. it's an interview thing, and the interviewer, his name is Sean Evans. He is like an insanely good interviewer. And apparently he works with his, it's like three people that do that show. It's like the executive producer, him, and his brother. And I do not think that there are a lot of people that could work that well with their brother, and I just kind of had to highlight
Oasis
that.
Oasis comes to mind, yes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So what's our story?
That's all I got for you, Pat, there.
That's the story? That there's this show and the guy does it with his brother?
There was a little feature there that I saw. I think it was in CNN. I was like, yeah, you know what? Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I like Hot Ones. I just want to know if you think that you can do Hot Ones.
No. No, absolutely not. And I love spicy foods, but not crazy hot foods. Maya Rudolph as Beyonce doing a takeoff skit on Hot Ones, that's comedy gold. I love her as Beyonce. That's today's history lesson. We will be talking to congressional candidate Laura Benjamin coming up in the next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Still ahead, we're going to be talking to dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, and we'll be talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Sheila will be talking about the many corn mazes and pumpkin patches you can visit around Wisconsin. And while we've got Hans along as well, we're going to talk about soybeans. Prices really plunged again yesterday, and that's because China still hasn't bought any of this year's crop. They've been buying from Brazil. They're probably going to get more from Argentina based on some headlines yesterday. This is not looking good for Wisconsin's many soybean farmers, so we'll talk about that. Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area all coming up. And then tomorrow, my goodness, tomorrow we've got a couple of good ones. We've got Kathy Hempstead, who's a national policy expert, national health policy expert with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, talking about those tax credits that so many Americans rely on to make their health insurance affordable, and how Trump and congressional Republicans are making those credits go away. And that's actually what is at the heart of the potential government shutdown next week. You know, next week is the end of the fiscal year. A new federal budget is due. Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate. So all they got to do is pass a budget. They can't do it because they can't agree amongst themselves on a budget to pass. And so they need Democratic votes. Democrats have been saying, well, last time we went along with you because we didn't want a government shutdown. But if there's a government shutdown this time, it's because you guys can't agree amongst yourselves. If you want our votes, you're going to have to put back some of these massive cuts to healthcare. And Republicans to this point are saying no and daring basically the government to shut down. So we'll talk to Kathy Hempstead from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation tomorrow about those healthcare tax credits. And then tomorrow, the state superintendent of public instruction, Dr. Jill Underley, will be here as part of our homeroom segment in our 7:30 half hour. Again, tomorrow, that is state superintendent Jill Underley. She gave the state of education address at the state capitol late last week. And so she will sum up a lot of what she had to say in the Capitol Rotunda about the state of education as we start the 2025-26 school year. Bill Berrien is one of the two announced candidates for governor in Wisconsin. He, along with Josh Shulman, who's the Washington County executive, Bill Berrien is the CEO of a manufacturing firm in Waukesha County. And we've talked about Bill Berrien before as somebody who does not quite appear to be prepped to be a candidate for statewide office, and that, again, running for governor is not really where you should get your on-the-job training. We have the need for good people to run for city councils and school boards, town boards, county boards, you know, even legislature. But running right for governor as the CEO of a company without any experience in campaigning can be difficult as evidenced when he was implying for a time that he likes Donald Trump's trade war so much that maybe along with tariffs from other countries, there should be tariffs across state lines, which of course can't be a thing. So he had to kind of clarify his remarks on that. And there have been other things as well. And of course, he's been campaigning as, here's how Dan Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel puts it. As a Republican running for governor, Whitefish Bay businessman Bill Berrien is campaigning as a conservative leader who stands up for family values. Oh, you can see where this is going, can't you? Yep. Berrien has been especially critical of transgender individuals, saying that they are engaged in, quote, radical social experimentation. Take it from a dad and coach. I will keep boys out of our daughter's sports and locker rooms, Berrien says in a recent TV ad, and praises President Trump for protecting our daughter's sports. The internet is forever, boys and girls, and as Dan Bice points out, Berrien's online footprint tells a different story and one that he tried to erase in recent days. There's a platform called Medium.com, kind of an older version of what a lot of people now put things on Substack. Medium is kind of in that same area. And Berrien has an account on Medium that was a follower of transgender porn star Jiz Lee and other authors of sexually explicit essays. Now, again, you're following somebody, so you're subscribing to their account so that their posts show up in your personal feed. He also was following Octavio Morrison, author of 7 Types of Orgasmic Sensations and 3 Terrible Reasons to Have a Threesome, and Emma Austin, who calls herself a wholesome perv with a touch of whimsy. These are, as Dan Bice says, not your typical men's health magazine headlines. And there were plenty more of blogs that talk about exploring your sexuality from different orientations, cultures, and perspectives. There was stuff there about polymore relationships. There was following a trans non-binary adult performer. In other words, it was more than, say, a passing curiosity to see what's this about. But Berrien's campaign says there's nothing hypocritical about this. A critic of transgender rights and an advocate for conservative values following a variety of sexually explicit authors and blogs. Campaign spokesperson said it's absurd to suggest that Bill would know about a particular author's personal choices by reading one article, that an author doesn't mean they agree with everything that they wrote. And Bill Berrien later put up a post on Twitter saying, is this the best they've got, is to go after my internet history when there are all kinds of other big issues out there? Well, there are all kinds of other big issues out there. Yes, there are. And that's why we need, in this race for governor, with an open race, there's going to be a new governor in Wisconsin elected next year. And only serious candidates need apply. Candidates with experience. Candidates that do not have to be perfect. Keep this in mind. We are not expecting perfection out of our candidates. Nobody has to come into this race wearing a halo. Just don't tell us something you're not. Don't be preaching against one group, even as your online history suggests we want to know a bit more about you, more than we have time for as we're busy electing a new governor. Much more ahead in the next hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.